Welcome to Double Take. Critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production, produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
This is Double Take.
Indeed it is.
Thanks. Gucci versus Ghost.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
You know what? It makes total sense, because when people are like, what are they talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife and House of Gucci for? It's because one of them is one of the worst movies of the year, and one of them is one of the best movies of the year.
So let me see.
What we're doing is comparing and contrasting a piece of crap with a shiny piece of cinematic gold.
And you're not always right. And I think you're wrong about this one, because I loved Ghostbusters.
You did?
I did. And
See,
I know you well enough to know which one
infirm?
You liked and which one you didn't like.
What's the matter with you?
And you didn't like Ghostbusters.
Who did you see this with?
Because you're comparing it with the original, and you shouldn't do that.
I'm not comparing it with the original. I'm comparing it. Well, okay.
Yes. All right.
First of all.
Yes.
I'm not comparing it with the original, but you can't call something Ghostbusters and not conjure up the feelings of the original and what made the original work and what made this one sputter, die, and writhe around on the floor.
So, first of all, I love Paul Rudd. I love the kids in this new Ghostbusters. And I'll tell you why. I think the original Ghostbusters is so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It's only because of those actors.
Right.
I mean, they lend everything. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis.
I'm gonna ask you this. And I'm sure you're not going to know the answer.
All right.
Do you remember how the original Ghostbusters opens?
No, of course not. You remember that kind of stuff.
Of course you don't. Well, I do.
All right.
And it opens with Bill Murray giving these two college kids a psychological test, like an ESP test. And he is, when the guy gets the wrong questions, the answer's wrong, he holds up a card and they're supposed to guess. He electrocutes the guy, and no matter when the pretty girl answers correctly or not, he doesn't. Now,
that is good.
Number one, it establishes the movie you're seeing as a comedy. Number two, it establishes the movie you're seeing as an irreverent comedy. Number three, it establishes the movie you're seeing as an irreverent Bill Murray comedy, who here is a character we're trying to figure out. He's shocking this guy. Do we like him? What's going on here? It gets us off balance right away. But very quickly, we're in this world. We're in an urban world where ghosts exist, and Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson are catching ghosts. And that is lightning in a bottle, and this is protracted, torturous nonsense with I've never seen Carrie Coon embarrass herself the way she does.
Oh,
here,
I thought
these
she was.
Kids are like.
I thought
who
she
cares?
Was just right.
I don't care, and it's so obvious that they're in a rural setting because they're trying to save money on the budget because they can't close down a city street for 5 minutes. This is awful. It's embarrassing.
Oh my! All right, all right.
It's such a cash grab. Let me walk you through Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh God, no!
What is this crap? This sucks. This sucks. This is crap.
Don't.
This is sucks. Oh, a ghost trap. Cool. Oh, this sucks. This still sucks. Oh, the Ecto-1.
No.
Cool. This sucks. This is crap. Oh, a proton pack. Cool. They're just trotting out these things.
But you know, they had to make references to the original, and I appreciated they're not going over the top and doing that.
In such a
you got a little ghost trap.
Yeah.
This is cute.
It is.
And it comes from that.
That's all it is.
But I thought in trying to compete with the original characters, they did it much better by emphasizing now the kids, and that by bringing in the sexiest man in the world, Paul Rudd.
You don't think that the sexiest man in the world title is conveniently announced right around the time of the release of this movie?
Oh, we know that. It's all showbiz. I know that. And I love it. I'm a sucker for every bit of that. But I also do like Rudd's slow burn. I think it works very well here. And I like the romance between him and Coon.
Yeah.
I think there's something about that that works for me. First of all, she's not in this role attractive much at all. But there is something about her.
She's a petulant 14-year-old who's she's supposed to be the mother of these children, but she's really just a whining
That reminds
teen.
You, right, the nerdy little 12-year-old.
I like that
just
girl.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
just
that girl was great, really great.
Yeah, she dominates over the kid from Stranger Things, which Franca would know.
No, that kid was great, and her little counterpart podcasting kid.
Oh,
podcast. He was very charming.
If you're gonna have a charming but little kid,
you don't
that is
see
great.
That also as a very calculated
what
kind
a
of addition.
Jesus, we're calculated. I mean, we're in entertainment.
This ramshackle operation with your cardboard and your chocolate.
What we have here
this phone
is
counting down. This is not calculated.
This is a disagreement, which we know is very good for our show. Mm.
This happens rarely.
And it happens rarely because we both have to have very high taste in movies. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to and we pick movies that we like usually. So,
most movies have something going for them that you can point to as here. You know, all right, I like
you're
this
impossible.
About it.
You're impossible.
This
we need
movie
to go.
Was
we need to go to Italy?
Execrable. Uh-huh. Execrable.
Let's exit. Let's get on a scooter.
Okay.
And let's bring Summer Marie.
Because
I'm sorry, I have my own scooter. You have her
of a Vespa. I don't want to be on it. It's going to fly apart in 2 seconds. Just kidding.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So. House of Gucci.
One of the best movies of the year. The opposite.
We happen to agree, and there are people who don't like it. Where are they from?
I don't know. This is interesting. You know, Ghostbusters Afterlife was a much shorter movie, maybe half the runtime of this movie. Mm. And it felt like I was losing years of my life. Like I was in an iron lung. That's what it felt like watching that movie. This movie, it just flies by. It's such a delight. It's an old school entertainment, big star personas.
Oh, listen, why do you think my buddy Barry loves this? He loves the opera.
Yeah.
This is opera light.
This is, yes, for sure.
Or soap opera light. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just from Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
All the way through is just, I thought, terrific characters,
Jeremy
actors.
Jeremy Irons, Al Pacino, Jared Leto.
Oh, yes.
And major star performances from Adam Driver and especially Lady Gaga.
Yes, and I'm looking at her again and saying this, she is really an amazing performer. And this, she underplayed this as far as I'm concerned and did it beautifully.
Yes, she was, you know, there's a strange tone to this movie. It is sort of soap opera-esque and a little opera light and campy at times, but also dramatically sound. It's a really sort of a tonal high wire act, and I thought that Ridley Scott, this is one of his best movies, I think.
Yes, and who would have thought? I mean, here's a guy who does dark, action-packed stuff, mm-hmm. Last Duel being the recent film.
Yeah, I mean, he's got two great movies in 1 year.
But a completely different. This requires, by contrast, a great deal of subtlety on his part. If you don't like anything we're saying, go for the fashion. I mean, this is the House of Gucci.
Yeah.
You should see how these people are decked out.
Yeah, you got these nice 70s and 80s outfits, ooh, big collars, peak lapels.
I know.
Garish,
yes.
You know, skin-tight outfits.
And I'll tell you, you know, the turn that Lady Gaga does as a character when she becomes the true femme fatale of all of this is, I think, one of the most beautiful transitions I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They don't move her precipitously. They move her very gently to becoming the ambitious.
Right. And this is, I think, the key to the movie's success, is she does not start out as a Machiavellian character.
No, she does not.
She doesn't start out with nefarious intentions.
Yes.
She arrives at them later.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think that's why ultimately you kind of side with her. You want her to, you know, like you might root for James Cagney, you know, when he was a gangster.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
You do for her.
And so I would recommend Ghostbusters,
mm-hmm.
and we would both recommend Gucci.
Yeah. I would recommend you avoid Ghostbusters at all costs.
Not when you can sit in a theater with your fellow Americans and have them eat popcorn next to you. How could you miss that?
That's really tempting. No, we were timing it.
Oh. Yeah. So, you
hold
know,
on,
yeah.
Do this.
Good.
You're listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. We're talking about two major movies in the box office right now. You can only see them in theaters, I think.
Yes.
Ghostbusters Afterlife and House of Gucci.
Yeah. And I'd want to remind our audience, for our listener who actually listens to both shows, it's Movie Time and Cinema Classics.
How did
that
do it?
In fact, we are talking in a classical strain here. That first of all, because of Ghostbusters, we know that we have a classical icon to talk about there. Mm-hmm. And Gucci, I think we're talking about something that could last. So we're always have that classic tone to this show.
You know, the critical reception to House of Gucci is overall very positive.
But don't you? I think it's somewhat mixed. It is mixed. I think it's mixed.
I feel like they're missing the boat. I feel like this is a movie that 10 years from now, people are going to be talking about. They'll rediscover it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't see it now, you'll see it later. It's one of those movies that I think you'll be drawn back to time and again. And I think it's because Lady Gaga gives what I believe is one of the best overall movie star performances that I've seen in maybe 5 years, the last 5 years.
Yes, and I agree with you. And I also think, and you know, I've mentioned this with you and Summer before, that Adam Driver, who's been in, I can't count the number of films he's been in the last couple of years, has reminded me of Gregory Peck in some way. Not only physically, and he is.
I mean, he's tall.
So, you're right. He's tall and dark haired.
Okay.
And because Peck is a bit understated in most of what he does, and then as I saw them riding around Milan in their scooter, I said, oh, this is clearly a reference to Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn. Mm-hmm. And then you could contrast Lady Gaga with Audrey Hepburn. And you know something? Audrey Hepburn does not come out well when I do that.
Well, Audrey Hepburn is, you know, it'd be hard. You'd be hard pressed to think of a movie where she's as emotionally expressive as this, or as aggressive.
So to speak, yes.
Audrey Hepburn has never been aggressive
like
she is, right?
No.
Yeah. I will say about Adam Driver, I think he's an extraordinarily talented actor. I don't think he's yet found his footing. He feels like, you know, he's capable of playing all these different roles, from Marriage Story to Annette, which I love.
Yes, Annette was great.
To this. He doesn't have a persona necessarily, which I know is, that's because he's an actor in pursuit of parts, but I feel like he's just not quite comfortable with his own skills.
And that's optimistic because he's got a long career ahead of him.
Yeah, for sure.
And when I think of The Last Duel, which is the other Ridley Scott movie, when I think of him turning into Bad Boy, I thought this was maybe he's getting to where you're hoping he's going to be someday.
He's at his best when he's slightly dark.
Yes.
You know, and I already what I love about the guy is that he's quietly amassing this little, you know, I can see it on YouTube. In about 2 years, you'll be able to Google Adam Driver throws a fit. And there'll be a montage on YouTube of him screaming, throwing, breaking things. You know, it's those moments where I think he's at his strongest. And why I thought he was so great in Annette, because he's really in control of the darker aspects.
Yes. And in this one, looking at House of Gucci, there were a couple of close-up shots of his face where he smiles. And I said, this guy is really good. Did you see his smile? He has creases on both of his cheeks.
Yeah, he's great.
And it looks super.
You know, it's an interesting comparison to Gregory Peck, who seemed so authoritative.
Yes.
And such a, like, a bastion of moral, upstanding morality.
Right? Yes, right.
Adam Driver does not have that. I can see him doing it eventually. He reminds me more of a young Brad Pitt. Young Brad Pitt was kind of like mesmerized. He was just like, this guy is so interesting. You know, well, a lot of people thought he was beautiful, but Adam Driver's looks, though not overtly beautiful, are compelling. You can't.
Without question.
But I feel like, as with Pitt, it took a while to get comfortable in his own skin on the screen.
Yep.
Not that doesn't mean that they're not competent actors. It just means that they haven't become comfortable movie stars yet, you know?
You know, that's a great point, because Adam Driver has the the benefit of having been in probably twice the number of movies at the same time as Brad Pitt. Right. Brad Pitt did not have a chance to exercise his chops the way Adam Driver's been giving it every few months. He's got another movie.
Right.
So so let's go back a little bit.
Go ahead, yeah.
Because I'm interested in how you've sabotaged Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to resurrect it here because I liked it so much, but yet I've way too much.
Your attempts to resurrect it in this conversation are going to be much like the filmmaker's attempts to resurrect any positive feelings that we have about Ghostbusters.
I will tell you, the problem here is that I so much admire your taste in movies. And if you tell me to see a movie, I see it because you're almost flawless. Is that I'm just miffed a little bit that you have such negative feelings about this Ghostbusters.
And maybe that's because I have such positive feelings about even the first two Ghostbusters. You know, there was a sequel to this movie.
Good Lord, are you right? Is that right? I didn't think anything was worth it till we got to this one.
There was a Ghostbusters 2 back in the day.
Okay.
And
the all-female Ghostbusters?
No, I'm talking about the original team.
Yeah.
Look, there's just, Paul Rudd in this movie. This is another thing that bothered me about the movie.
Poor Paul Rudd.
No,
he doesn't have a chance here.
Okay. Who doesn't love Paul Rudd?
I know.
Right? And it felt like such a hedged bet. Let's put Paul Rudd in here to guarantee audience goodwill. Right? And he's not doing really anything. He's playing he's here and there, and then he disappears.
They
did
not give him enough time.
Of course not.
I know.
Because that's what I mean. It was like an afterthought.
What's his name? Mr. Gruber or something?
I don't know. He's a science teacher.
It's great. It's
putting
so
him
great.
In there and then
they're watching Cujo in class.
That was funny. But putting him in there and then plugging him and Carrie Coon into the original roles of Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis.
Oh.
They went through all the same beats where they turn into it just seemed like a waste of his talents, a waste of her talents, quite frankly. And that's what I mean. It felt cynical to me and gross.
Okay. Yeah. And I will say again, I think it's the kids that really make this movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Make it what?
I think horrible? Make it enjoyable. And particularly as a family movie. I think
again, it's all calculated, right? We took our kid to see it. He enjoyed it. You know, I think even after the day after, he was like, you know what? It wasn't that great. But, and then another friend of ours, Jimmy Mack from the Shadow Box.
Oh, yeah.
He hated it, but said his kid loved it. And that's what I feel like after the failure of that last attempt to reboot the franchise, they just said, you know what? Let's just drag the kids into this.
Oh, man.
So sick.
You and Jimmy are formidable critics. You guys know
I'm harder than he is.
I know he is, but he can be when it comes down to something that's even smacks of comedy. The guy is really pretty tough.
Yeah. I want to ask you something about House of Gucci,
though,
and Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, his last movie, The Last Duel, which I have not seen, regrettably.
Oh,
I want to see it. I know.
I know it. Oh, my gosh.
So... The Last Duel tanked. One of the biggest,
not believe it,
box office bombs of the year.
Yes,
major cast: Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Adam Driver. So he follows that up with this months, and I hope audiences will go see this movie because it's so
this
much
movie
fun.
Meaning
House of Gucci.
Oh, House of Gucci. Yeah,
2 hours and 36 minutes. I didn't feel it felt like a breeze.
Yep.
Right. So Ridley Scott said something in the vein of what Scorsese said about the Marvel movies. You know, he dismissed them. He said that, you know, these movies are crap. The scripts are crap. And, you know, and I kind of understand his plight, right? As a filmmaker who's, I mean, come on. In some ways, you might argue that Ridley Scott is partially to blame because he made Alien and Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he does have a point. Those movies are very thoughtful, whatever you think about how they fall in terms of genre. But are we at a point where adults will not support smart, dramatic films in theater?
I
Is that happening?
I think we have always been at that point. And I think it's one of the reasons you and I have sustained 15 years of discussion like this, and that actually we do have something to say, and that we, me more than you, but we are cheerleaders for movies. If we find something good, we will ram it right down the throats of every listener, or our listener at least.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right. I think in one way it has been a constant educational goal of ours,
yeah,
to let people know. For instance, even what you're talking about with Ridley Scott is so helpful, to see the contrast in this great director and to see what makes it work or doesn't work. But the fact that we can argue about it, and yet both of us didn't feel we've wasted our time in either case,
right,
where I think this is the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I would like to, and perhaps we have to end our discussion, I'd like to end it with a quote.
Yeah.
I could, you know.
Go ahead. I have something to end it with.
Well, then why don't you do that? Because I think mine is a good one, too.
Okay. I just want to say about this movie that we sat next, when we saw House
Gucci.
Of Gucci.
Yes.
We sat next to this rude battle axe that was chomping away at her popcorn, at her bag of popcorn, like a toothless heifer at the trough. And despite her efforts to take me out of the film, seeing it, it didn't diminish the magic of the film, of a really extraordinarily well-made and well-performed film.
Thank you. Beautifully said.
Let's
go. So now that diminishes the power of my closing.
Yeah.
But our listener is used to that. Woody Allen said, "If my movie has made one more person miserable, I feel I've done my job."
Yeah. I love it.
Great.